Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of Manna from Heaven. Today's an odd day. We are starting our Manna from Heaven this week on a Tuesday rather than on a Monday, and that's because I could not get Block Talk Radio to cooperate with us on Sunday when I was supposed to do the Sunday school class. So I did the Sunday school class on Monday, and I had no choice but to push back the Manna from Heaven one day. So we're going to go from Tuesday, March 15th to Saturday, March 19th. This week's series is entitled God's First, I Will. God's First, I Will. This week I'm going to be featuring some music from a wonderful singer, gospel singer, Christian singer, by the name of Rosemary Simmons. And last week we played music from Alan Jackson for the whole week. And so this week is going to be Sister Rosemary. Our scripture text comes to us by means of Isaiah 41:10, and it reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Portion of the text upon which we're going to be spending the entire week is the phrase that says, "I will strengthen thee." The I referring to God and the thee referring to us. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We praise your name. We look forward to this word this week because many of us are out of strength. Many of us have our tanks empty, and we need for the Lord to come alongside us and strengthen us for the journey. Oh God, we pray that you bless us and encourage us and, of course, strengthen us. For the road is long and arduous, and you have much work for us to do. Therefore, Lord, empower your people. Begin so by starting right now. Continue to do so as we meet for prayer tonight at 7 p.m. And empower us for the entire week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Saints, don't forget tonight is our prayer meeting at 7 p.m. with Sister Linda Hart, giving us a half hour of a little bit of gospel hymn, a little bit of revelation, and a little bit of George Mueller. And then following that half hour of instruction, we go immediately into the prayer meeting that is attended by so many, not just in St. Johnsville, but also many across America. And so don't forget tonight, 6:55 p.m., come on the line and join us for prayer. Again, the portion of the text that we are focusing on this week is, "I will strengthen thee." We've already covered, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." We've already discussed, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." "I will strengthen thee." That's one of God's first I wills. There are three I wills in the text. "I will strengthen thee" is the first. "I will help thee" is the second. "I will uphold thee" is the third. Well, my brothers and sisters, in the following text, in Isaiah 41, 11, and 12, we know now why God's children need to be strengthened, why they need to be helped, why they need to be upheld, and that's because God's people have real enemies. The enemies of God's people are numerous and powerful and invisible. Because the Bible says that we Christians, we New Testament saints, are not fighting against flesh and blood, but our enemies are spiritual entities. They're called demons. They're called fallen angels. And here are four characteristics. Now, of course, in Isaiah's day, the enemies of God's people were not only spiritual, but they were also natural or physical or human. That's not the case today. We are not to fight man. We're not to take up swords against our fellow man like Joshua did against the Canaanites. No, that does not apply to Christians today. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So, the demons, the hordes of hell that we contend against, have four things highlighted in verses 11 and 12. The first is that they are incensed. They are hot under the collar against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To these forces of darkness, God promises to what? Defeat them. "Behold," says the prophet, speaking on behalf of God, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing. And in our case, that's what God has made of Satan, nothing. Satan can do nothing against the people of God. He can try, he can attempt, he can come against us with all his might, but in the end, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Number two, or letter B, Satan's forces shall strive against us, which means they will chase us down like a person with road rage chases down another driver of an automobile. It says in Isaiah 41:11b, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Those who strive with you, those who chase you from one block to another, from one neighborhood to another, filled with road rage. Remember, you're a pilgrim, I'm a pilgrim, we're on our way to heaven, and on this long pilgrim's journey, Satan has this consistent road rage against the people of God. But the Bible says that those who strive with you, those who have this road rage against you, they shall perish. So they shall be as nothing is the first promise, and they shall perish is the second promise. Then letter C, God will defeat them who are contending or picking fights with the church. It goes on to say, does the text in 41:12a, thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Who will you seek? Well, where did the devil go? Where did his minions go? Well, you won't find them. Why? Well, because they have been cast into the lake of fire, never to bother us again. You will seek them and you shall not find them. Why? Even them that contend with thee. Revelation 20 tells us the fate of Satan, the fate of his minions who are marshaled against us. Matthew 25:41 tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God will separate the elect. God will separate the church and put the church in heaven, and then take the devil and his demons and cast them into hell, imprison them in hell for all eternity. You will look for Satan in heaven, but you won't find him. Why? Because he has been imprisoned for all eternity. This is what God will do with those who contend with us in the present. Who is contending with us? Satan is contending with us. So listen, he's incensed, but he shall be as nothing. He is striving, but he shall perish. He is contending with us, but you won't be able to find him because God is going to get rid of him once and for all. And then finally, D, God will defeat them who are warring, who have eternal enmity against his church. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. You know, all of Satan's attacks on you and all of Satan's attacks on me and all of his plotting and all of his scheming will amount to zero. That's what it means when they shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Whatever they planned, whatever arrows they shot at you, whatever fiery darts they sent your way shall be what? Neutralized. He shall be as a thing of naught. In other words, if you put it in modern words, Satan's attacks will amount to nothing. One big zero. It is in this context that God says that he will strengthen us, which is one of his first I wills in the text. So let's turn to page number two, and let's find out what the word strengthen means. The word strengthen in English is a Hebrew verb, and it's the Hebrew verb amas. And this word means that God will make something strong. God will make something stout. God will make something solid in the context. The thing that he would make strong, the thing that he promises to make stout, the thing that he promises to make solid is his church. And not just make us solid and strong and stout, but also make us bold. God is determined to make us courageous. Listen, you have to have one of the characteristics of a winner is a winner is determined. A winner is filled with this thing called perseverance. No matter how many times I get knocked down, I will pick myself up again and keep going. You see, God makes us bold of heart, but then he gives us this thing called perseverance. You are determined that no matter what comes your way, you're going to make it. And he gives you courage. He makes you courageous. So when God says he will strengthen you, he will strengthen me, he will work on us like a mechanic works on a car engine, or like a potter works on a piece of clay on the potter's wheel, or like a metallurgist works on a piece of gold or silver as he's applying the heat to give it its form as he pours that melted metal into that cast. God is determined to make something out of us, to make us a strong army of believers. He has promised to strengthen us. He's going to work you over. God's going to turn you into something solid, something dependable. In other words, God is going to, if you don't have a spine, he's going to give you one. If you have a yellow streak running down your back, God will remove the cowardly streak and he will give you a spine. If you were afraid before, you are afraid no longer. He will strengthen you. He will, in other words, transform you. He'll transform you. That's grace. God promises to make us strong. When I was looking up this word, this Hebrew word amas, I found this interesting quote in the Expository Dictionary of Bible Words. And this is how, and now that's not the whole definition, but I found this portion of it quite interesting, and I'll read it. It says, again and again, the hearts of godly Israelites were drawn to history's record of God's powerful acts. The existence of Israel as a nation and the well-being of the individual depended not on military or physical strength, but on the active power of God exerted on behalf of his people. So notice, my dear brothers and sisters, the way you're going to become strong and the way I'm going to become strong is God working on us his active power, his transformational power. If you recall when Gideon was called and the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, Gideon was hiding. The Midianites, had put fear in the people of God. The Midianites were the enemies of the people of God in that district where Gideon lived. And Gideon and his fellow Israelites were afraid of the Midianites, who at that time were extremely powerful. And while Gideon is dealing with some wheat and grinding some wheat in secret because he's sorely afraid, the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "Thou man of God." Now, at that time, Gideon had a yellow streak in his back. Gideon was a coward. Gideon was doing everything in hiding. He was very fearful. But God spoke to him and called him, "Thou valiant man of God, or thou man of valor. Now, he had no valor. But you see, by God calling him that, he was prophetically speaking of his future, of what God would do with him. Take a coward and turn him into a champion. From coward to champion. From a man in hiding to a man out of hiding. This is what God is promising to do. He says, I will strengthen thee. He's speaking to each one of us personally. Now, I don't know what it is that you are facing. I don't know what it is that is causing you to hide like Gideon. I don't know what it is that's causing you to fear and quake in your boots. But God says, I will strengthen thee. In other words, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to remove that faint heart that you have and give you the heart of a lion. I will strengthen thee. Now, that is a prophetic promise. Isaiah 41:10 again says, I will do what? I will strengthen thee. That's the prophetic promise. But in addition to the prophetic promise, there is an apostolic charge. You see, God uses Isaiah to prophesy this, and then Paul comes around and says, you know what? You got the promise. Now act on it. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Remember, what does strengthening mean? It means the active power of God. God is at work on you, at work on me. He's changing us. He's taking out the things that make us what? That make us fearful and paralyzed. He's removing those fears that we have. He's taking that out. Oh, by the way, my snowblower worked perfectly during the last snowstorm on Saturday because Bruce and Debbie Singer came to the house and picked up my snowblower. And, of course, as I told you before, they narrowed down the problem. They said, Pastor, the reason why your snowblower is not working is because it has bad gasoline in it. Your gas is old and it's no good, and we just have to take all the gas out of the tank. See, that it didn't allow the engine to start. Bad gas. So they took that out, and they put high octane gas in, and they cranked the thing up, and it started to work immediately. This is what God is saying right here. He says, listen, the prophetic promise is I'm going to give you a whole new makeover. I'm going to take that which causes you to be paralyzed and inoperative, and I'm going to fill you with promise and hope. I'm going to give you a prophetic promise, and you need to follow that with an apostolic charge. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Paul speaking to the men of Corinth. This text is not for women. This text is directed towards men only, men in the church. He says, I need you men to watch. Watch ye. What does that mean, watch? What are you watching out for? Well, you're watching out for wolves and lions and bears and hyenas and jackals and leopards. You're watching out for the predatorial preachers who will come after the flock. Paul says, I want all the men to be watchmen. And then, not only do I want you to be watching, but I want you to stand fast in the faith. I want you to have both feet planted squarely on the Bible. Stand fast in the faith, or stand fast in biblical revelation. And then he goes on to say, quit you like men. Turn yourselves into men and be strong. Notice the last one. Be strong. Be courageous. Be determined. Be bold. That's what he says. So men of the church need to do what? First of all, watch. Be watchmen. Help the leader of the church, the pastors of the church, help them watch out for predators who are coming to attack the flock. Whatever you do, make sure you do it standing squarely on the Bible. Stand fast in the faith. We need men today. We don't need sissies in the church. We don't need men who don't have convictions. We don't need men who flip-flop. We don't need flip-floppers as men. We need men who can take a stand. Quit you like men. We need men in this hour. And then Paul says, and make sure that if you're a man, be strong. Be determined, be courageous, be bold to stand for Jesus. And of course, this applies also to women. We need women of God who are going to be women of conviction, women who are going to stand for truth, women who are going to stand for Jesus, women who are not going to be afraid of the Goliaths who come with their taunts and with their threats. So the Lord says, I will strengthen thee. I will. I'll work on you. I'll work on you until you become solid, until you become dependable, until you become something that people can lean on, such as a pillar in the house of God. Well, my brothers and sisters, that'll do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow to see how, in other ways, God will strengthen his church, his body. Don't forget, tonight at 7 p.m., well, really 6:55, we want to encourage you to be on the line for tonight's wonderful and glorious prayer meeting. Hope to see everyone there this evening. Again, as we close, I leave you with Rosemary Simons.